Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, and the pet experts are in the building. And it's time for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, your hosts, Lee Cohen and Rick Preuss.
Welcome, pet keepers, to this week's Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. I'm your host, Lee Cohen, here with my co-host, the pet expert himself. Good morning, Rick Preuss.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to see you, even if we do have to talk about a very somber topic this week. The whole issue of what went on down in Zanesville, Ohio, has been all over the newspapers. I know you've seen it, Rick.
We have. And we do have somebody that can probably talk a lot more intelligently about that particular topic. Dennis Laidler is here with us on the show today as well.
Wow. And Dennis is the education curator from the Potter Park Zoo. Let's bring him in right away. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be with you.
It's our pleasure to have you. Dennis, what's your take on what took place down in Ohio last week?
Well, obviously, it was a real tragedy. I mean, a person lost his life, but also over, you know, almost 50 animals, and some of them very rare animals, also were killed. And it was sort of the, you know, the perfect storm of why you need regulations to ensure those kinds of things are much less likely to happen.
Mm-hmm. And Dennis, what should they have done? I mean, what procedures needed to have been in place, or, I mean, how could this have been prevented if possible?
Well, I don't know if you can totally prevent something when somebody, you know, is bent on releasing animals. I mean, but, you know, he had a history of problems there. One of the problems with private ownership of large, especially large, dangerous carnivores, first of all, there's the public safety issue, and then also is animal welfare issue. You know, those animals have a lot of living requirements, everything from diet and space and a whole bunch of other things to make sure that they're healthy. And with the number of animals he had, if he was feeding them, you know, state-of-the-art diets, it had to have been an incredible food bill just to feed the animals, let alone have adequate facilities otherwise. So, you know, the Potter Park Zoo, along with the Detroit Zoo, the Binder Park Zoo in Battle Creek, the John Ball Zoo in Grand Rapids, and the Saginaw Children's Zoo, are all accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And every 5 years, we go through this horrendously difficult but very important accreditation process. And the largest area of increased diligence and things that we have to account for in the last few years, they keep adding more and more safety and security things. Mm-hmm. So that you have double redundancy and highly trained staff and what to do if there is an animal escape. And, of course, the main thing is don't let them escape to begin with. But if they do, I mean, we do drills all the time. We work also with the state, I mean, the fire and rescue and the police. They often are part of some of our animal escape drills. Mm-hmm. Once those animals were loose, lethal means were really the only safe thing to do at that point.
And there's no question, people were endangered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fortunate thing, apparently, was fairly close to a freeway, and people driving down the freeway saw them and alerted police. Or if they had had chance for several more hours to scatter, there could have been some people injured or killed.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a rather large beast that has no real harm, like, you know, maybe a giraffe or a camel, but something like a tiger and a grizzly bear, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, even animals that seem fairly safe, you know, something like a Bactrian camel, you know, a male can weigh 2,000 pounds, and they can kill you in a variety of ways if they're irritated or feel threatened or feel like you're in their space.
Right, right.
They can kill you by biting your skull and crushing your skull. They can pick you up and throw you. They can sit on you. They can kick you, or any combination thereof. And, you know, there's a reason that very few of our animals at the zoo are animals where our keepers will be in the exhibit with them when they're cleaning or taking care of them or feeding. Most of them we have built-in shift cages, and we shift the animals out before we go in there.
Dennis, what's the educational value of individual? I'm trying to understand why would someone want an animal like these?
Yeah,
because I don't understand the attraction. Is there an educational value to it? Help us understand that.
Well, I don't know if we can totally understand. People do that for different reasons. Talking with people over the years that have had large exotic animals like that, sometimes they... I would say the most common one is because they're unique and it's something nobody else has. You know, it's sort of like some people do dangerous X games because there's a thrill of danger and stuff, and having a potentially very dangerous animal around, you know, gives some kind of people a vicarious thrill that way. Another is some people genuinely just love the animals and they figure that if they love it, that's going to help make that animal be safe, because if they're taking care of it and loving it, then it's going to respond to them in some way. We call that anthropomorphism. It's giving human-like traits to non-human animals, and it doesn't always work that way.
And bottom line is, in something like this situation, the dividing line has to at least be, you know, if it endangers others around you, neighbors, entire communities,
right. And
that's where there has to be some kind of far better line than this one.
Yeah, and, you know, Ohio has, I think, ever been talked about endlessly since it happened, that they have probably the most least stringent regulations for that kind of animal ownership.
Yeah.
And in virtually all states, and all, I know, all the accredited zoo directors in Michigan are meeting real urgently on these kinds of things to double check and make sure where we want to be in all these things. But there's a reason that, you know, the AZA accredits public zoos, and there are a few private zoos that are AZA accredited. But, you know, we don't just look at how we take care of the animals and how safe the public is. Those are really, really big things. But to stay accredited, we also have to participate in international endangered species conservation programs. We have to have very active educational programs, be involved with research. There's a lot more to being an AZA-accredited zoo than just having a good zoo as far as taking care of our animals and keeping the public and animals safe.
Well, Dennis, we wish you luck in figuring out solutions so massacres like this don't happen again. But we want to thank you for coming on the show this morning. We've been talking this morning with Dennis Laidler, the education curator for the Potter Park Zoo. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to talk to a gentleman who is very much affected by this, Dean Oswald, the owner of Oswald's Bear Ranch up in Newberry, Michigan, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.